No, we are.
The world would be flat and only good things would happen.
I'm the most emotional available in my family, actually.
I'm going to call the House Committee on Healthcare to order for this June 5th.
And then they get never changed.
Open an informational meeting and getting us all ready for observing the solar eclipse. Would you call the first panel, please?
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Well, I figure you're hard to talk.
Okay. We have Janet Baker, Executive Director of the Oregon Association of Optometric Physicians, and Nan Heim, Executive Director of the Oregon Academy of Ophthalmology. All right.
Obviously.
Chair Greenlich and Vice Chairs Nose and Hayden, we want to thank you and the rest of the committee for giving us this opportunity to talk a little bit about how to protect your eyes during the solar eclipse. For the record, my name is Janet Baker. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Optometric Physicians Association. We are in the path, and as you see, this is the path of totality for the August 21st solar eclipse going through Oregon. And it is the first total eclipse to cross the United States from coast to coast since 1918. It's a big deal. And about 12 million people live directly in the path of totality and within a 200-mile span of totality. The bandwidth is partial eclipse.
Yes.
So there are millions and millions of people across the country who are going to be experiencing this eclipse, and starting with the Oregon coast. And we also are hearing that Oregon itself may receive about 1 million visitors for this two-minute episode.
Two minutes.
Wow. You got 2 minutes.
Sunglasses.
Jeez.
Oh. Pictures. So I'm especially pleased to be here today with Nan Heim, and together we represent pretty much all of the Oregon eye doctors, and who are strongly urging proper eye protection to witness this historic event safely. OOPA, my organization, is devoting our 2017 public eye health campaign to eye safety for the eclipse, as well as our constant message of the importance of comprehensive eye exams, starting at infancy and throughout the lifespan. Some of our eclipse activities are partnering with ophthalmology and other health organizations to provide consistent safety information about the eclipse, especially because we do know that there is some inaccurate information out there. Some of the tourism organizations outside of Oregon are suggesting that since it's a total eclipse, you don't really need to worry about protecting your eyes. That is a terrible, terrible public health error, and one that can cause blindness. So we're very concerned about getting the word out every way where we can and any way we can to educate everyone about the safe way to experience this historic event. We are providing solar eclipse classes, which you now all have, and the big eclipse educational materials, which you also have in the gift shop here. But we're providing them at cost because our intention is public health, and we want to make sure that they get spread as far and wide as they can. We will have sold 45,000 pairs of those solar eclipse glasses here within the month. so we're getting the word out, but we could use all the help we can get to make sure that everyone has protective eyewear. Providing materials and information to legislators, especially when we held our advocacy day in April, there was a lot of interest and with some of our legislators, and we're providing follow-up to them to potentially provide these materials to constituent events in district as well as any other kinds of ways we can get the information out there. We are working to engage media and we'll be working together to do as much media presence as we can to, again, just spread the word to be safe. And using the eclipse as our hook to get Oregonians' and institutions' attention on the importance of comprehensive eye exams and regular eye health and safety care from licensed doctors, eye doctors throughout Oregon. We are also, and so the next slide, please. So we're also referring those that we can get interested in any way to our website for more information about the Eclipse and about eye health and safety, and to give them access to the materials as well. And then we're finally participating in as many public health events as we can. I've done a few. I don't know if any of you had the thrill and opportunity of meeting Ella, who is our 8-year-old future president of the universe, who has her own Vision Fun Run in Beaverton, and she made $6,000 this May to provide children with eyewear. They can't afford it. So we participated in that and had a booth and tried to distribute the glasses as well. We are hopefully going to be participating in the Capitol event on the Mall on August 21st as well to get the word out. And yet to be determined public health events. So if any of you know of any or would like us to participate in anything, I think I can speak for Nan to say that we would be happy to do that. And I will now turn it over to Ms. Heim.
Thank you. Chair Greenlick, Vice Chair Hayden, Vice Chair Nosen, members of the committee. My name is Nan Heim, and I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Academy of Ophthalmology. And I'm very happy to be here today with Janet. Thank you for the opportunity. You have online this statement that was issued by the National Associations for Optometry and Ophthalmology, joined by the American Astrological Association, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and the National Science Foundation. And it has all the details about looking at the eclipse safely and how important it is to have the glasses that have this international certification, because, as Janet said, there will be some products out there that won't protect vision when viewing the eclipse. Our state association is planning several ways to get the information out there. As Janet said, we're going to be doing a joint press release, press information, getting the word out as much as we can through the media. We're working on social media, and I'm looking for help to get that done because it's kind of outside my area of expertise. We're sending a flyer to our members to have in their offices to provide information to their patients. And we are providing information through, as Janet said, other public health activities. We work a lot with the Elks Children's Eye Clinic at OHSU, and they work on something called See to Read, which is a program that's done jointly with the Oregon Library Association that I also represent. And it involves having free screenings, vision screenings for children at public libraries all over the state. And we will be distributing these materials, the same glasses that you have, and the same kind of book at these events. The kickoff for that is June 17th at the Oaks Amusement Park, and it is being sponsored by the Beaverton Elks. So this is what we'll be working on, and we welcome your suggestions. I should mention that your colleague, Representative David Gomberg, has been nudging us throughout the entire session. So I do want to mention that he's been very concerned because he, of course, is expecting many of the millions to come to his district. So we'd be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question. Assuming or worrying that we'll have cloud cover that day wherever we are rather than a bright sunny day, is it still a problem?
Yeah, to look at the sun?
To look at the sun. I mean, when you can't see the sun because of its clouds, is it still a problem?
I would actually defer to Dr. Buehler on that. But my
understanding... Wait a minute, he's a surgeon.
I know, but he's an MD, so... My understanding is that, yes, anytime you look, your eyes are focused directly at the sun, those UV rays and those dangerous levels of rays could be damaging to the eye. We know that even if people do follow the misinformation out there that they can, because it's total, look directly at it, even for a few seconds, it can result in retinal bleaching, which may or may not be treatable or curable, but even a few more seconds is total blindness. So it is really critically important that people understand that, that they have to have some protection. And sunglasses don't do. It really has to be these international standard glasses. If you try them on, you can see you can't see a single solitary thing until you look directly at the sun, and then you just see the sun.
So even now,
Pardon me?
If I put them on now, today, I would see the...
You could see the sun, yes. And yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. I'm certainly no expert on ophthalmology, but I believe that is true. Even if it is cloudy, you certainly have less risk, but there is still substantial risk of...
That could certainly turn into a real problem.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Hayden.
I agree, and I think that's something important that we should include in our message.
Right.
That cloud cover doesn't matter. Thank you for asking.
Chair Greenlink, I would also mention, I thought where you were going to go is if it's cloudy in one place, can you drive to, you know, to the next place on the path? We are concerned that I don't know what to do about it, but from a public safety standpoint, that may happen, that people will start at the coast, and if it's cloudy, they'll drive to the, they'll try, and the highways may be impassable.
Oh, wow. It'd be a good test for evacuating the coast for a tsunami.
That's what I heard. I actually have heard that they are using that as a potential test case for tsunami evacuation.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just tell you a little story. Last night we had some people over for dinner, and they were asking my wife about this, who's an eye surgeon, and she says that about once every other year she sees someone who was in Oregon in 1979 when we had the last eclipse. Yeah. That they'll have she called it a retinal burn. So when she looks at their eyes, she can see where they were burned back in 1979.
So. I remember that eclipse.
Yeah, and that was a partial eclipse, wasn't it?
No, it was a total eclipse.
Oh, I got bad information.
I was on the Columbia River Gorge for that.
All right, any other questions or comments? Thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Next. Please.
David Klein, City Manager of Independence, and Mike Goderbaugh, City of Salem.
Thank you guys for coming. Please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. I'm David Klein, City Manager for the City of Independence. I'm here on the invitation of Representative Paul Evans. I'm not sure that I have a lot to add to for you in terms of the safety. My background is in law and city management, which makes me an expert on pretty much nothing. But what our approach to the event, I can talk to you certainly about that, is we have for about a year now tried to take this 2 minutes and turn it into a 5-day event, and in front of you, you have our layout for that. So, if you're looking for a fun time, I can certainly share with you all the information about that. We are a little bit stymied in our search for good medical assistance during the event. There's a lot of call on a lot of folks at this point in time. So, we are working hard to get good staffing for our EMS station. We have pretty good security with our CERT team. And we don't know what the numbers are going to be, so it's really a crapshoot. Very much so. We have roughly at this point in time about 12,000 of the glasses ordered, and I expect we may want to have more before it's all said and done. We're looking to sponsors to help us with that. We are spending about $45,000 on the event at this point in time. And we expect more of them to have that cost covered with various revenue streams off the event. So from that perspective, again, there's a lot of fun going on at the event. We have music, food, and Brewfest. We have the first ever I've ever heard of a golliologist. I think that's the science of golly from Momsey. So that person will be at our event. We have several other science education opportunities at the event throughout the period, largely for Sunday and Monday. Saturday's pretty much just full-fledged party. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions about what we're doing. Again, I don't represent much of a body of expertise on anything, but here I am.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Do we license golliologists?
Probably not.
Do you want to?
Next session. The fee would be too expensive to cover the cost of the board.
Mandatory training.
Oh, my golly, it would be a high fee. Is that right?
I bet you could come up with a tax for them.
It's a subcategory of the funeral and cemetery for it. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mike Goderba. I'm the Public Works Emergency Preparedness and Communications Manager for Salem Public Works. And I was asked by Representative Evans' office to come and talk to you a little bit about what we're doing as a community. And it's all about planning right now because, we, as you said, we don't know exactly what to expect, but we do have estimates of, said before, 1 million people coming into the state. And what about all the people north and south that live in the state, that line of path of totality? I mean, they all could be converging towards it and don't want to miss the event. And we have to plan based on those conditions. That many people coming into the state, what are the limits of our infrastructure, our roads, our parks, the hospitals, all of that? How are we going to get people and provide a safe environment for people to come? And yes, we really want them to enjoy the event, have fun, come early, stay late, absolutely. But we see challenges in that, and we're planning based on what we expect those challenges to be. In Salem, we've kind of broken up into four groups that are focusing on individual areas. The first one being transportation, working closely with Marion County, Polk County, ODOT, as to where we are anticipate issues, staffing up our resources and dispersing our resources throughout the area where we expect they may be needed if everything comes to fruition. That's the level of planning we're doing. Transportation was one. Police, fire, EMS would be a second one that are doing the same thing, looking at all the resources available and how they're going to staff and disperse and coordinate. Parks and events, another one. We've got lots of people probably coming into our parks. We've got to be ready for them. Sanitation issues, water, certainly making sure that they get word on vision protection, all of that going on. And then the last one, the one that I'm involved with, is the joint information aspect of this. In other words, starting now, how do we get the word out to people on the messages that they need to know, whether it's eye protection or travel planning or water, all of the things that we have to plan for? It's could be a hot day in August that we're going to be looking at. And then when we get into the event, how are we going to get real-time information directly to the people that need it the most so they can make better decisions based on what's going on, where the congestion is, where there may be problems, areas to avoid? How are we going to get that information directly to people? So those are the things that we are working on locally. We had a tabletop exercise last week. We're going to do a functional one next week. And I also talked with Marion County Emergency Manager, and you know their main focus is in two areas right now. First of all, to enhance the medical capability and capacity of Eastern Marion County up the canyon. How are they going to be able to better support that than on normal. And then the second one, again, is public information. How are they going to get to people who are stuck on the roads because they can't get anywhere else? You know, you mentioned, what if it's cloudy, you know, and well, everybody gets on the road and wants to go to Central Oregon. That could happen. We just don't know. We're planning for it. Spoke with Marion County, or with Salem Health, and they've been working for over a year with the Region 2 Healthcare Coalition talking about the hospital-to-hospital and also their community partners, how they're going to optimize their operations during this whole thing. So as I said, right now it's all about planning. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're getting an idea of what we've got to plan for.
The other thing you should plan for was at the Olympics in Atlanta in hot August. Their public health had hats and water available for people who live in various places. Water is going to be a really important issue. Mm-hmm. You really want to make sure you have available.
Water has been certainly part of many of our discussions in relation to our parks and that type of thing, how we're going to be able to support the people wherever they may decide to go.
Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You guys sound like you're having fun getting ready for this.
We'll be ready as we can.
Sure you will.
We'll have fun.
We have one more?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. Akiko Saito, Interim Manager for Health Security Preparedness and Response of the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division.
Good afternoon, Honorable Mitch Greenlick, and Vice Chair Noth and Vice Chair Hayden and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Akiko Saito, and I am the Interim Director of Emergency Operations for the Health Security Preparedness and Response Program with the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division. I really appreciate you having me here today to provide you with an overview of what we are doing around planning for the eclipse for public health and medical. I want to say that it's a great opportunity that we have here, and I think earlier we mentioned, somebody mentioned about the idea that using this opportunity for sort of planning, and we have been working for many, many years around our Cascadia, potential Cascadia event, and last year we had our Cascadia Rising exercise, and so we're using this an opportunity for us to really work on some of the wonderful things that came out of that exercise, especially around sort of how we can build that infrastructure and how we can move modernization of public health, the public health system, forward. So just note that we are very excited to have an influx of folks here, not only for the economy, but really for us to really prepare for larger events. I really appreciate what Mike had just mentioned around Region 2, our healthcare preparedness program. We actually have 7 regional healthcare coalitions, which make up our EMS, our hospitals, our tribes, our local public health authorities. And we really are looking at those coalitions around sort of the planning for the eclipse. We've been able to work with each of those healthcare coalitions, and some of those healthcare coalitions have been doing tabletop exercises around eclipse planning, but really looking at how do we look at some of the modernization pieces, especially around community development and kind of working together to integrate what we do on a normal basis in order to prepare for such a large event. And one of the exciting things that I wanted to share with you today is also around the preparedness that we've been doing with our 9 tribes. Last year, we had our 9 tribes come together, and they have put together and formalized a tribal preparedness coalition. So all 9 tribes did participate in the Cascadia Rising exercise.
Last 95.
Nine.
Did you say 95?
No, 9 tribes.
Nine tribes. Okay.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes. And so our nine tribes did come together and they practiced together for Cascadia Rising. So with this planning for the eclipse, we've been utilizing that coalition with all of the nine tribes to really do planning and working with each of the healthcare coalitions to do some of that regional planning at the hospital, tribal, local public health authorities. So again, just really looking at the modernization of public health system and really using this as an opportunity to showcase some of the great examples that we have. For instance, we have in Region 7 with, I know, Representative Bueller, that's his region. We've been working with that healthcare coalition to really look at what are the opportunities that they can utilize. That we had a tabletop exercise just this last month, and we're really looking at how do we actually solidify some of those efforts in all of our different regions, but specifically in Region 7. One of our other things that we've been looking at is we have our State Emergency Registry of Volunteers in Oregon. That is our large emergency registry. We have about 2,800 healthcare volunteers that are part of that registry. And so we have just put out kind of a request for some of our local counties and jurisdictions to come back to us because we've had some potential requests for utilizing our volunteers. And so that's one of the things that we're looking at doing and really, again, practicing sort of what we have been planning for a very long time. Some of the things that we're really looking at especially and is around our EMS services. We've had a lot of our local partners come to us and really talk to us about what are we doing around EMS planning. So we recently, this last month, we had a planning call with our EMS providers, with all of our local public health authorities and tribes, as well as our hospital partners. And we're really talking about what do people at the local level have in place in order to prepare for eclipse planning. We recently put out a survey to all of our EMS partners and our county folks to talk about what they're doing around preparation. And we've already received 74 responses in our survey. So we'll be looking at what we're needing at the state level in order to help our local partners. We know that sort of emergency medical support services support about 500,000 calls every year. And so over the 6 days that we're talking about the eclipse, we will probably see in an average on a daily basis about 8,200 EMS calls. But because we're looking at a potential of about 1 million other folks that will be in Oregon, we kind of are planning for an additional possible 2,000 EMS calls. So that's quite a bit. So we're working with our EMS partners, our hospital folks, and then our Oregon Emergency Management, which is our other state agency. Director Phelps has been working with the entire, all of our different state agencies, and we've been planning together for the last year and specifically since January. We know that there's going to be concerns around wildfires, and on Thursday we're having an interagency wildfire response briefing for the governor's office, and we'll be, again, working with all of our partners around the potential of wildfire season during the eclipse. So we've got lots of things planned right now, and we do have slides. I didn't go through the slides because it would take probably, you know, the entire hour up. So I am providing these slides to you as materials that you can take home with you. So that's, and the additional thing I also wanted to just talk a little bit about is that we also are working with all of our different programs within our public health division, because we know with mass gatherings, we not only potentially have food borne outbreaks, we have a pretty large planning that's going on at the Oregon Health Authority Public Health Division, and we will be activating our incident management team so that we can get a handle on any potential situations that we might have with eclipse. So I'll have any time for questions.
Was that Bueller?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair Greenlee. There's been some concern expressed in Central Oregon about the capacity of cell networks that day in terms of so many people and communicating, taking pictures, that there would not be cell service during that crucial time. Can you speak to that concern?
I think it is a big concern. And again, the Office of Emergency Management is coordinating all the state agencies. So we specifically don't do telecommunications, but that is one of the things that we are discussing. So I appreciate that question. I think the additional piece is also the transportation piece, and that will create quite a bit of traffic congestion. So I think those are two big things we're looking at.
Could you get back to me with regards to contingency plans in case the cell network is not functional?
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm intrigued with your 7 collaborative regions. Is that a training program for the possibility of regionalizing all public health into the 7?
I like your thinking. Those 7 regional healthcare coalitions are part of our federal grant that we have, and that is the Hospital Preparedness Program. So I think it is a potential great example or best practice around sort of regionalization, and we did see that happen with a UCC event that we had, because that we had Region 3 had a hospital preparedness region. And so that was an incredible testament of our hospitals and being prepared with Mercy Hospital and Peace Health. And all of our hospitals along the I-5 corridor did look at decompressing their emergency room departments just to prepare for that particular event. So we have seen a lot of value in it, and we also have seen that regional hospital is in the Portland metro area. We do have a regional hospital where they actually transfer all patients at a regional level, and we see in Region 2 in Salem here, they're looking at the same type of model. So I think it is definitely a potential for best practices around modernization and regionalization.
What are the 7 regions?
We have Region 1, which is the Portland metro area. We have Region 2, which is kind of the Mid-Valley, Salem. We have Region 3, which is Lane County all the way to the coast. We have Region 5, which is just Jackson and Jefferson. We have Region 7, which is the Central Oregon area. Region 6 is Hood River and in the Dalles area, and then we have Region 9, which is our Eastern Oregon Hospital area region.
Region 4?
There's no Region 4, and I'm not sure why, but it just happened that way.
There are 7 regions counted somewhere between 1 and 9.
Right, right. Exactly. It's just to keep people on their toes, right? But I will say that when we developed those regions, we actually looked at the Area Trauma Advisory Board regions, which are in statute, and we designed those regions to coincide with patient movement.
Good. I can imagine us regionalizing all the local public health.
Right.
Very helpful.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, whole panel. It's something good to have on our mind. We appreciate your coming.
A lot to think about.
I will close the informational hearing. We are adjourned.